Hi, Odyssey fans. I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse Magazine.
Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast and the twice-a-year tradition where Jesse and I step aside to hear questions from listeners and answers from the Odyssey writing team. Ready, Jesse?
I'm stepping aside as we speak, Bob.
The only thing left to do is to give a big spoiler warning. If you haven't heard all of Album 74, buckle up. You're about to be spoiled, and you can't say we didn't warn you. Right, Jess? Jesse?
I've already left the studio.
Here we are in another Q&A. I'm line producer Nathan Hubler, and with me in the studio here is writer, director, showrunner Marshall Younger.
Hey, hey, hey.
Writer, director Kathy Buchanan.
Hello.
And remote, we have writer, director, co-creator Phil Lawler.
Ooh.
Hello, hello, hello. Co-creatorly.
Yeah. And we have so many questions. I think this was the most questions we've ever gotten for one of these. So we just got to spring right into them and answer as many as we can. So first up here, we have Esther from Wichita Falls, Texas.
What is a usual brainstorming session thing like?
Brainstorming session.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have like brainstorming sessions that happen all the time where we just say, hey, somebody comes and says, hey, I'm having trouble with this particular plot point or whatever. And so it's the storyline.
We got an idea we want to talk about.
Exactly. We get together and we get three or four people in a room and we will just brainstorm through it. And that, which is really fun. It's a really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it makes the whole process more collaborative.
But I'm guessing Esther's talking about something more formal that we do.
Yeah, we do have writers' meetings every February, and we go off-site as a team, and we go to a retreat center or something like that. And we live in a beautiful city in the mountains in Colorado Springs, so it's easy to find nice spots and, you know, relaxing places and be inspired. And all the writers bring in one or two sentence ideas.
Which we call log lines.
Right. And lately we've broken up into two teams during the week, and each writer pitches their ideas to the smaller team, and then we talk about the things that work, the things that don't work, and the things that could work. And we always ask relevant questions like whose story it is, what message are we trying to convey, and, you know, what's the best way to convey that message. And you know, like stuff like, are the characters being true to themselves? What kind of story would this be? You know, we do all sorts of types of like comedies and dramas and adventures and stuff like that. And we come back the next day and the teams bring back their more specific ideas to the table and we decide what we're going to develop and what we're not.
Yeah. And then we throw rotten eggs at the people that we don't like.
That's right.
Because, you know, we got to tell them the other stuff that we do too. You know? I mean, it's not just all work.
They're always really fun.
All fun.
Yeah. They're always really fun, but they're always really exhausting too. Because it's a lot of intense thinking.
This one in particular.
I've always been fascinated by that. That, you know, people say that, your job is easy because you're just a writer. I've had people say that to me over the years, and I'm like, if you came to one of our sessions, you wouldn't be saying that. You're exhausted at the end of the week. It's really not easy to do this.
Especially
stuff.
If you're being hit by rotten eggs.
All right. So here's a fun one from Georgia, from Ridgeland, Mississippi.
And not what I expected. Connie says, while in the courtroom, there's a law that you cannot become mayor when you're left-handed. And I was wondering why she said that, and she said maybe that's brilliant. And I'm wondering, because I figured out that Kathy Buchanan wrote that episode, and I know she's left-handed, so why did you put that?
Can I say something to Georgia before we answer this question? I was born in Ridgeland, Mississippi.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Yeah. Well, Ridgeland is not big enough to have a hospital, so technically I was born in Jackson. But that's where that was my first home, Ridgeland, Mississippi.
Wow.
I do not remember any of it.
So, Georgia, see if you can find the Marshall Younger Memorial somewhere.
Oh, it's there somewhere.
Memorial.
That's
if he died.
The Marshall Younger.
The statue. It's a commemorative statue.
Yes, the tribute. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, okay, go ahead, Kathy.
How did she know that you're left-handed?
I'm pretty impressed, Georgia. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm guessing you mentioned it in a podcast
somewhere.
You probably
did. Yeah.
You've probably said something
about it. You talk about yourself a lot.
The last one was the Kathy cast, so... So why would you harm your future Odyssean political career by putting this in an episode?
I know, now that I think about it. Now, all of those laws were actual laws that were on the books somewhere in the U.S. And I just kind of looked up, like, what some of the funny laws were. And most of them are from Minnesota, strangely enough. So
what do they have against left-handed people in
Minnesota? I don't know. But, like, there was, like, a horses can't be stored in the shower or something like that was an actual
I've heard that law,
law
before.
That, yeah. that one makes sense, too, though.
Yeah. I mean, logically.
Really?
Stored in the shower? Is that what you said?
It was something like that. I don't exactly. It was something about horses and, anyway, bathrooms, something. So I just thought it was a funny law, so I stuck it in there. And because Wooten and Penny are left-handed, so then I could add in that joke.
But okay.
Thank you, Georgia, for recognizing that.
Okay, next up here is Karis from Lewis Center, Ohio.
In The Ties That Bind, Part 13, Penny mentions Richard Maxwell. How would she know Richard?
Well, that's a good question because Penny and Richard never interacted, but I think we can all say that the interactions that the characters have on the show are not the only interactions that they have. I think we'd agree on that there are things that happen off screen. So my assumption on that was that Connie had told Penny about some of the history of Odyssey at some point. What do you guys think?
Yeah, Connie talks about herself a lot.
Yeah, I think they all talk about it. This question actually does come up a lot in some of the stuff that I've when I've talked to people online and everything. And I just say, you know, yeah, there's, you know, people are still around in Odyssey. They talk to each other, even though we don't always hear all of their conversations.
But if you want to hear more about Richard Maxwell, he's not on the radio show, but he is involved in the Elsewhere in Odyssey comic strips. So you can see the continuing story of Maxwell and several other characters, including
Nicholas Adamsworth. You can do that again.
Okay, speaking of characters from the past, here's one from Calum from San Gouda, Alberta.
Gouda.
Yeah, named after Kathy's favorite cheese, I believe.
Yeah. I'm wondering what the future of Philip Glossman is. And thanks for making Odyssey great. Bye.
The future of Philip Glossman, well, once again, we do see him in the Elsewhere in Odyssey strip that is going on right now.
Yep.
I'm not sure he has a future.
Yeah, I don't know that he's going to be on the show again. Right. Paul McCusker, who plays Philip Glossman, has refused.
Yeah, he doesn't want to do that.
Yeah, he's like flat out not going to happen anymore, period. We're done. I like the character. I love the character, but he does make multiple appearances in the Blackard books. So
yeah, we get to learn more about his history.
His history is, yeah, absolutely. And it's a fun history too, I think.
Well, that is one of the great things about the Elsewhere in Odyssey comic strip is that there are characters who we can't continue to explore on the radio show either because the actors have moved away or passed away, or in the case of Philip Glossman, the actor doesn't want to play the character anymore, but we can explore their stories in the comic strip. Okay, next up, Michael from Baltimore, Maryland.
I was wondering how I would possibly get a job for Adventures in Odyssey. I am very interested in this. Thank you. Have a great day. And I love your show.
You can start by getting me a cup of coffee. No, I'm kidding.
What? It depends on what does Michael want to do? Is he a writer? Is he a sound designer? Is he
an actor?
Actor, something like that. Yeah.
Well, I'll start with the writer. If he wanted a job as a writer, what's his path?
The best way to get a job here is through our apprenticeship program. We have one for writers and we have one for sound designers as well. There isn't an opening right now for either one. But there should be in the future. It's a year or so where you you get a job learning the craft and writing episodes. Our last apprenticeship for the writing on the writing side was Jesse Kellen IV, who has wrote three scripts for us in the 18 months that he was here, and now he's working on a fourth.
It's great.
Mm-hmm. We have a bunch of new crew members who have come our way through the apprenticeship program. So if you hear the names at the end of the episodes, Sam Saxiri, Abigail Geiger, you mentioned Jesse, Luke Gonneau, Zach Schneider, they all came to us through the apprenticeship program.
Yep. And getting Phil coffee.
Okay, here's another one from Peyton from Rayford, North Carolina.
John Avery Whitaker was raised in North Carolina. The first actor for John Whitaker was Hal Smith, who also played Otis on The Andy Griffith Show, which was set in North Carolina. Do these two facts have anything to do with each other?
Wow, you know, I never noticed that before. Yes, of course they do. Of course they do. Yeah. Hal Smith, who was our originator of wit, of the actor who originated the voice, he was also in several and in quite a few dramas, audio dramas that Focus on the Family did prior to Odyssey. And so he was in a couple with Chuck Bolte, I think, who was our first executive producer. So it was kind of a natural thing. He was a very, very nice man, and we loved working with him. And so when we were in the midst of creating Odyssey and creating what Odyssey would become and I was trying to figure out who John Avery Whittaker was, Hal was just a natural for the role. It was, I don't want to say it was written for him, but it was pretty close to being written for him and created for him. But it was just a kind of a natural thing to do an inside joke to say, well, let's just have him be raised in North Carolina. What I kind of love about this question also, though, is that it raises a kind of a bigger thing, that we do have a whole lot of Easter eggs and inside jokes and stuff that we put in as writers over the years. And of course, Odyssey has been, you know, we've been doing this for almost 36 years now.
Wow.
Even longer. What I love about it is that as each new generation grows up, sooner or later, they will hopefully come across a lot of those things and then go, oh, I had no, oh, wow, that's just, I always loved that when I saw things like that in television shows and then would make the connection.
The best moments, though, will be when the kids watch an Andy Griffith Show episode and say, hey, they're referencing Adventures in Odyssey.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
All right, so another fun one here from Silas from Linwood, Michigan.
So for a while, Dale Jacobs was a main character, pretty common character to hear from, but then he started appearing like only once every 10 years. Why is that?
Oh, here we go.
That's a really, really good question, Silas. Very good question. Your check is in the mail. Well, I can tell you just right off the bat that the guy who plays him is such a jerk that nobody wants to work with him, and so they finally kicked him off the program.
No.
Actually, no. I would love if Dale Jacobs was on every single episode. Yeah. Why did we just, you know, in fact, the
Adventures in Dale.
I think that there was talk at one point, and it could have just been me talking to myself, that, well, maybe Dale should just take over for Wit. I mean, maybe that should be, it should
Dale's
be, you
know,
he should.
Wait, that was actually a conversation? Right.
Well, I think he had it with
internal
himself.
Internal monologue, I think, with Phil. No, we like Dale.
But I don't object to it. I think that that's a pretty good idea, as a matter of fact.
Okay. Do we need to explain that Phil plays Dale Jacobs? I think we need to
just in case you didn't know. In case you didn't realize the similarity between Phil and Dale.
The two voices, yeah. We had a recent episode with Dale on, and I have things planned in the future. It all depends on, I don't get to make all those decisions, so, you know, it's up to the team. But,
well, nobody even asks why customer number two only shows up every 10 years.
Although I have noticed that Officer Burke has made a lot more appearances, especially since Marshall has become showrunner.
He was gone for like 10 years, right? I have not written myself into any show. Let's remember that.
Officer Burke can take over for Wit. Yeah, he can be the new Wit.
Yes.
It's on Burke's end.
All right. Well, I think we have sufficiently answered Silas's question. Next up, Zach from Ontario, Canada.
Did you guys design some of the Adventures in Odyssey characters to look like the actors? For example, Buck and Jules, because they kind of look like the actors?
I think the answer is yes and no. So sometimes we'll use the actors. I know definitely in the case of Shona and Jules.
Yeah.
Shona or Jules was designed based on Shona's look. But other characters, particularly some of the more nefarious characters, we did not use the actors as the model for the characters. So
I can say that the early characters... early on, we didn't use the actors as models for the artwork for the.
Do you remember who the first one was, Phil? Do you remember any that we said?
Yeah,
oh,
very
got a
first.
Basic...
You mean like first Wit?
No, the first character who was based on an actor specifically, was it Townsend with Jason?
It may have been Townsend, although he does. I don't know, that first artwork doesn't really look like Townsend either. I think it was actually Jack.
Jack Allen.
Oh, it's actually Allen.
Yeah.
Young.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was the first one that was kind of modeled after
Tom
the way
Tom kind of looks a little bit like Walker too.
A little bit, but but he went through a lot of different iterations too. It wasn't until later that we started kind of looking at the actors and sort of modeling the artwork after the actors.
All right, well, let's move on to some questions about some recent albums. And this one is from Ned from Hampton, Virginia, and he has this question about album 73.
My question is, well, where was Jules in all this with both Connie and Julian being out for those 28 hours?
Well,
where was Jules?
Well, like much of the population of Odyssey, she was sleeping through a lot of it.
The whole day? So,
maybe like 8 hours of it.
Well,
maybe.
8 hours, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think Jules had was working with Bridget on a school project and stayed the night and went to school with her in the morning. Because we do know there was school the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So, so that's kind of where I think of her as being during that time.
We do get this sort of question a lot of, hey, where was this person when this was happening? It's a very common question because we have so many characters and not all of them could be in every episode.
Right. So I don't think she was doing anything interesting.
Or we would have done a show about it if she were doing something interesting.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, next up, Nathan from Tipsy, Ohio.
I was just wondering if you guys actually had an answer for if Whit or Jason won the family game night.
Yeah, Marshall, that episode ended. I was in suspense. I'm still on pins and needles over who won the game night.
Who won the game night? Okay, so we know that Wooten and Penny won the game of Fishbowl, right? Because they got Jason and Jillian got disqualified.
Right. Well, Jason and Jillian seemed to win, but then
they seemed to tie. And so
were disqualified.
So they won that round. Connie and Whit won the trivia game. We know that.
Yeah.
So I'm as the writer, I can determine. I can decide. So
arbitrarily.
So let's say this after the episode was over, presumably there were other games, and so I say that Jillian and Jason won the drawing game. It was because they were about to do a drawing game before it got cut off.
Okay.
Because Jillian can still act like a fool and still win that
game. Right.
Yeah. So it was a three-way tie until they decided to play Red Rover and Whit broke a hip.
He broke his hip.
Yeah.
Oh, we should make a show about that.
Yeah, because it's Red Rover and it's really dangerous.
So are we going to do a follow-up episode?
So
game night two?
No. We'll never hear about this broken hip in the audio show. You're so glad that we didn't actually.
So, yes, now I'm glad that I don't know who won the game night.
But if you notice, the next show that Whit was in, he was walking with a limp.
That's right. You know,
more so than usual.
You gotta listen.
He does that every show.
Right, but this was the other hip. So now it was
So it actually sounded normal. It sounded normal.
The other hip, so he's now icy. So he's walking with two limbs now.
Okay, well, Nathan from Tipsy, I think you've gotten a bit of insight into our creative process here with your answer.
Speaking of creative meetings, you know.
Exactly. So if I would have pitched that, that would have been the rotten eggs moment.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, Josiah from Newton, Maine asks,
in Value in the Process, Maury is talking to one of his group mates and he deducts that he likes digging up rodent skeletons based on his observations. But I was wondering, why did Maury refer to it as archaeology of rodentia when he knows, well, I assume he would know because he's very smart, that it is actually paleontology. And thank you.
Well, Maury was being a smart aleck at that point, and he was rattling on, and he just didn't really think it through, and neither did the guy who wrote the script. So, actually, you know, there is, at least in my brain, another reason for it, but I'm not going to tell you what it is because it might spoil the future plans that I have for Maury and stuff that I'd like to do. So I'm not going to tell you. It's intriguing. I'm not going to tell you what it is. So
the paleontology arc coming soon.
Yeah.
One with all the rodent skeletons.
Where everybody talks wrong.
All right. Well, Josiah, I'm not sure if we've answered your question, but we've given you something to mull over there. Next up, Sylvia from Boone, North Carolina.
I was wondering if the name of the album 74, Buckle Up, was on purpose because of buckles. Thank you, guys. I love you.
We love you,
we love you too.
Thank you, Sylvia. So, buckle up. Marshall, I think that was your suggestion for the album title.
I think it was, yeah. We had a meeting about titles, and I think this one. And yes, it is referring to buckles. You know, I'd seen online that was the
The couples came up with buckles.
Yeah,
right.
The couple that came up with
buckles. It is great. And so I thought, yeah, let's throw him a bone. And so did Chris actually say buckles in the raps?
She did.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, she did. So yeah, in a way, fans sort of kind of named the album.
They absolutely did. Yeah.
They did.
All right. Next up, referring to an episode within Buckle Up, we have a question from Tequila, Georgia, and a lot of people ask this question.
Why did they change Renee Carter?
Why did we change Renee Carter?
The actress who played Renee originally was not available. Mm-hmm. And she loved playing the role, and we loved having her, and she was wonderful.
She was, yeah. Amy Pemberton.
Yep.
So we needed to find a new Renee because Renee is a very popular character. So we held a long audition process, and we found a new actress to play Renee,
who is also very
amazing. Also fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Caitlin Thorburn really good. Is terrific as Renee,
and she's a very 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 wonderful person, and is excited to play the role. So
we're excited
to have her.
That her story will continue in the albums too. So people who are listening on the albums will now be able to hear Renee's story arc.
That happens sometimes. Sometimes the actors they're just not available for us, and so we have to replace them.
All right, this one is from Ben from Ponte Vedra, Florida.
And I actually have a question about the recent episode "King of My Heart." We hear from a character who we've actually heard and read about before, named Ryan Cummings. And we know him as the mayor of Kidsboro, but we hadn't heard from him for a while. And the first we've heard of him from a while is in the episode King of My Heart. Anyway, my question is, was Ryan still the mayor of Kidsboro when he asked Jules to go to the dance with him?
Was he in his mayoral duties? When he asked.
Well, he's left-handed, so.
No. Can't be the mayor.
Well, that rule only applies to Odyssey, not Kidsboro.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he's done with his.
Yeah, he's in high school now.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
So he's abandoned Kidsboro.
Yes. Is Kidsboro still going on, though? Are there people in Kidsboro?
Marshall?
No, I would say no.
Okay. So it's Kidsboro just, does no longer exists.
Well, I mean, it could always be picked up again with maybe new characters.
A new round of kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll hear from Ryan again in a show called Alibis, which is coming up. When is that coming up?
Later this year in the club.
Yeah.
And it's still the same actor who played Ryan all those years ago in Kidsboro.
Adam Wiley. Yeah. Yeah. And there will be a mention of Kidsboro, I think, in an upcoming comic strip.
Yes.
So. Yeah.
So once again, the comic strip allows us to explore some things that are not necessarily at the forefront of the radio show.
Yeah, and if you're just really hungry for Kidsboro, there's some books out there too.
That's right. There's a book series. All right, here's another question. This one from Drew from Bellflower, California.
What was your thought process behind King of My Heart? I enjoyed it, but I'm wondering where you're going with this. And can you give us any hints about the future?
Yeah, this album did sort of end on a cliffhanger because the very last thing that we hear in the album, Kathy, is Buck and Jules decide that they are not boy space friend and girl space friend anymore.
Right.
Yep.
They are boyfriend and girlfriend officially.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are some shows coming up where we'll get to see more of where that relationship is going. And quite a few, actually, that we're in the process of. So there's a whole ride to take with those two.
And this is a major part of the next album, Album 75.
Yes.
The fact that they are dating plays heavily into that album.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Another question that we got a lot. This one was from Ian from Anchorage, Alaska, with a question about the cover again of Album 74.
Eugene is in the album cover on the picture, but he's not in any of the episodes. And I wondered what was up with that. Thanks, guys. You guys are the best.
Thank you, Ian. We always have such great questions, such great fans. We really are really blessed that way. But he's right. Eugene's on the cover, and we do not hear his voice in this album.
He's mentioned.
Well, first of all, isn't that album cover a tribute to a previous album cover?
Yes. I don't know if everyone knows that, but there was the original cover for album 23, Twists and Turns, showed a bunch of the characters on a roller coaster. And I believe it was Evan David's idea to, hey, we should tribute to that album because it was appropriate for the album title that you had come up with, Marshall. Buckle up. Let's do the characters on a roller coaster again, because it seemed to make sense for this album. So we didn't want to have all the main characters on there without Eugene, because he's still part of the show, even though we didn't hear him on this album. Well, the next question follows on from that, and we got this question, understandably, many, many times from people. Let's hear Madison from Hopesit, New Hampshire.
I've been wondering, since Eugene is on the cover of album 75, if you guys got a new voice for him or something?
Again, many questions, as we would expect, about the future of Eugene. So is there anything we can tell people?
Well, we can't, we can't really go into any detail on the shows that are coming up, other than it is a four-part episode, and it is called The Best Is Yet to Come.
This is the episode that will deal with the future of Eugene.
The future of Eugene, yes. Well, we recorded it in January, and it'll be on the club starting...
Part one releases July 27th on the club, and the other episodes, part two through four, release week by week from there. So it's not the first episode in album 75. There are a couple before that. But that's the first episode that deals with Eugene.
So the last four episodes of that album deal with Eugene.
Mm-hmm. And it also deals with Buck and Jules.
That's
We're going to hear from them in there as well. Okay, so speaking of that album, and sort of leads into at least an answer about that album, here's Kelly from Warsaw, Indiana.
Blue's past seems a little vague. Is it possible we'll hear more about it in future episodes?
Well, we have heard some about Wooten's past. I mean, Kathy, you did an episode Out of the Picture where we found out how he got to Odyssey.
Yeah. I would be interested in knowing more about Wooten's past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think we've dropped a lot of hints throughout, his time on the show.
Tori Martin created Wooten, like 25 years ago? Something like that. And he had a whole history written for him. I mean, he wrote up pages and pages of, of what what do you think Wooten would be like? And we haven't heard a lot of that. So
plenty
pull that out. And we actually, speaking of Wooten, we'll learn a little bit more about Penny's past. In a show coming up called As Far As It Depends on Me.
Yes, another episode in album 75. So we're going to hear Penny revisit some moments in her past in that episode.
Yep. And Wooten will be in that show. Mm-hmm. We won't learn anything about his past, but
at least not directly.
Yeah.
All right. Our final question here is from Maggie from Midland, Michigan.
I was wondering if you knew when you put in Maury and Susie, you know their backstory.
Sure. Why not? You know, sometimes with some characters, we actually do plan their story arc. Not necessarily the case with Maury and Suzu. No, I knew some of the stuff that I wanted to do with Maury in particular, from the beginning. But their stories took a kind of a wild turn. Kind of got a better handle on it now, which is good. and know where I would like to see them go. But sometimes we do know some. In this case, we're making it up as we go along. So.
Jillian would be an example, I think, of a character who, Kathy, you had a pretty good idea. I mean, the whole story wasn't developed, but you had a pretty good idea of where Jillian was going to go from the day she was introduced.
Yeah.
Whereas Maury and Suzu were more fluid in their storylines.
We just recorded a three-part episode with Maury and Suzu.
We'll be in the as-yet-to-be-titled album 76.
Yep.
Yeah. And there'll also be an episode with Suzu, anyway, in album 75 called Two's Company, Four's a Crowd. So her storyline will continue in that album.
Yep.
Well, those are all the questions we have time for today. We had so many more that we didn't get a chance to get to. So if you didn't hear your question, I'm sorry. I'm sure it was a great question. We just can only answer so many. But thank you, everyone, for sending in questions. And thank you, Kathy, Marshall, Phil, for taking time for this.
It was
still waiting on that cup of coffee, bud. Still waiting on that cup of coffee.
You really want a job here?
Really want a job here?
I don't know.
Well, thank you, everybody. See you next time.
Bye.
That's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation to Focus on the Family.
Visit the website at adventuresinodyssey.com. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day's an adventure.
Adventures in Odyssey has taken generations of children on an exciting journey, all the while sharing biblical principles and activating their imaginations. Now, in 2024, we'll be airing our 1,000th episode. To celebrate, we're inviting every member of the Odyssey family to join us for one grand party. This spectacular two-day event is packed with fun and excitement for Adventures in Odyssey fans of every age. Partygoers will enjoy an unmatched, immersive experience into the town of Odyssey. Meet and greets with cast and crew, Q&A sessions, trivia contests, and more. The party is topped off with a live episode recording starring fan favorite characters. It's all happening on August 2nd and 3rd in beautiful Colorado Springs, Colorado. Tickets for One Grand Party are going fast. Learn more at onegrandparty.com.